Eile tog de Sisko ben Avram. Avram hoile de Sisko. This parasha basically speaks about the life of Yitzchok Avinu. Now, it's interesting that amongst the three of us, Hagdoshim, Yitzchok Avinu lived the longest. Yaakov Avinu's years were in his katzer. Avram Avinu, his years were shortened. Yaakov's years were shortened. And Yitzchok Avinu lived longer than any one of the others Hagdoshim. Yet when the Torah speaks about them, the Torah speaks the least about Yitzchok Avinu. Avram Avinu, Yav Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chayuzara. Yaakov Avinu, Yav Chaylik of Toldois, Vayetze Toldiyan. And Yitzchok Avinu is basically Parshas Toldos, and that's it. The Torah speaks about Yitzchok Avinu, who lived the longest, and yet the Torah speaks about him the least. It's also interesting that in the Lashon of the Rambam, in Perek Aleph, Mehilchas Avodas Kechav Malacha Gimel, he's very much ma'arich in the deeds of Avram Avinu, how he was makkel the Rebbeinu Shlomo at a young age, and he went from city to city, from kingdom to kingdom, thousands of people gathered around him. He's ma'arich in Avram Avinu, and he's ma'arich a little bit about Yaakov Avinu, but about Yitzchok Avinu, he kamat says nothing. He says Yitzchok Avinu was mitzavet Yaakov, that's it. Kamat nothing about Yitzchok Avinu. So what's the pshat? So Yaakov Kamenetsky says, the Fashtetzach in the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael, Yitzchok Avinu's Hashvor was no less than any of the other of his HaKadosh. But in the Hashvor of the times that he lived, it was less than the other of his HaKadosh. Why? Each one of the Ovis Lepi, his Mida, had a Hashvor which paralleled the Mida that he represented. Avram Avinu represented the Midas HaChesed. So aside from the fact that he was Machna Sereya, he invited people to his house, but he was also Machna HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mitech HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness to mankind. That's something that people identify with. You know, people like to hear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rebbeinu Shalom of Rachamim, and how everything was done with Chochma to be able to supply the Bria. Everybody identifies with that. Yaakov Avinu's Midas, the Midas HaEmes. Midas HaEmes is also something that people identify with. Like, I mean, it's not Midas HaChesed. It's not as appealing, perhaps, as Midas HaChesed. But everybody likes the truth. Even a young child understands that Emes is Emes and Sheker is Sheker. That's something that people identify with. Yitzchok Avinu, on the other hand, represented Midas HaDin. Midas HaDin means perfection. And if you're not perfect, then you suffer the consequences. That's something that people shy away from. Nobody likes to be involved in Midas HaDin. You know, nobody wants Einshim, nobody wants Yisurim. Memeila, Yitzchok Avinu, Lefi, his Mida, people shied away from that Mida of Yitzchok Avinu. So that's why, in the Torah speaks about Dovas HaKadosh and Lefi, the Hashvah they had on the Bria around them. Avram Avinu with Midas HaChesed had a tremendous Hashvah. Yaakov Avinu with Midas HaEmes, people identified that, you know, with that. Midas HaDin and Einish, which you have to be precise, and if you're off precision, then you suffer the consequences. That's Yechide Yechidim. From the Rambam and Smashma, that Yitzchok Avinu had only one Talmud in that, a Talmud moving, that was Yaakov Avinu, and that was it. His Hashpa and the surroundings with Midas HaDin, people shied away from that. As a matter of fact, according to some Shitas, the Nefesh HaShirosu B'choron of Avram Avinu, what happened to them? They left Yitzchok because they weren't able to handle the Midas HaDin. That's a Mida that Yechide Yechidim are able to handle. We also find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'chadchila Bereishis Bara Elikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'chadchila created the world with Elikim with Midas HaDin. But he saw that Ein Ha'olam Yochel L'Hizkayim, the world cannot stand with Midas HaDin. So then it says, B'yayim B'roi Hashem Elikim, Higdim V'shotavim HaMidas HaRachman. For the Kiyam Ha'olam, practically speaking, there had to be Midas HaRachman there. Midas HaDin, only Yechide Yechidim are able to withstand that. So in his time, Yitzchok Avinu's Hashpah was less than the other others. But for Knesset Yisrael, for Nitzchias, Yitzchak Avinu's hashpo was tremendous. Because the fact that he was willing to be makir of himself, al gabi mizbeach, that gave the impetus, that was mashrish in Klal Yisrael, the ability that for later generations, they were able to go dial Kiddush Hashem. So for the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael, Yitzchak Avinu's hakrova was definitely mashpia on the rabbin throughout generations. But in his immediate surroundings, Hayyosa hashpo was not as great as that of Avraham and Yaakov, so the Torah is not so much Ma'arich on him, and the Rambam also is not so much Ma'arich on him. As I learned through Yaakov. The Pasuk goes on to say, Vayisraitesu habonim bikirba, that the two children, the two pshatim and Rashi, what Vayisraitesu means, either it's a lesson of running, this one ran when she passed the house of Avodah Zarah, Esav ran or tried to run out, when she passed the Beis Medrash, Yaakov Avinu tried to run out, or else by Yisroitzitzu was a lotion of fighting. What were they fighting over? Misroitzitzim benachla shnei olamos. They were arguing over the inheritance of the two worlds. Yaakov wanted olam haba, and Esav wanted olam hazeh. And there's, if he won medrash, there's a hisofet. And when the Malach HaMavis heard that Yaakov Avinu was willing to be mevater on olam hazeh, she said, okay, so I'll take Yaakov Avinu's neshama away. That's what he wants, olam haba. So I'll take him away from olam hazeh. And then Hashemayim, they didn't let. So you have to understand, what exactly is this machloikis? The Yaakov wants olam haba, and Esau wants olam hazeh, and then there's no machloikis at all. You take olam haba, and you take olam hazeh. What's there to fight over? And furthermore, if you learn the Medrash Kipshutei, the Yaakov Avinu wanted Olam Haba, then the Malach HaMavis was right. So it means he's being Mavakar on Olam Hazeh. So he was right in wanting to take him away. So why Takim and Hashemayim didn't they allow it? So the Mefarshim say that when Yaakov Avinu said he wants Olam Haba, not that he was Mavakar on Olam Hazeh. It was a question of what is the purpose of Olam Hazeh. Esav wanted Olam Hazeh for the sake of Olam Hazeh. This is a physical world. The physical world should only be used for physicality, for mundane matters. Achila, shesia, eating, drinking, tanugim, pleasure. This is the tachlis of Olam Hazeh. You want to learn? That's what Olam Haba is for. But this world over here is for the tachlis of Olam Hazeh, l'shem Olam Hazeh, for tanugim. Yaakov Avinu held that this world, we could extend Olam Haba down here on this world. Olam Hazeh Doim Alu Praizder. Olam Hazeh Doim Alu Praizder. Olam Haba Alu Trachman. So it's all part of one building. Haskin Atzmacha Be Praizder. Prepare yourself in the corridor. Kedei Shetikonis Le Trachman. So when it says that Yaakov Avinu wanted Olam Haba, it's not the pshat he was mevater on Olam Hazeh. He wanted Olam Hazeh to become a shik Olam Haba. He wanted this to become an extension of the Olam Haba up in Shemayim, that you instill Ruchnius over here, and there could be Olam Haba down here. Esav couldn't take that. Esav B'Shemayim did not want that. This is the physical world, and in a physical world, there should be no Ruchnius. Yaakov Avinu lahepach. Yaakov Avinu held that if you have Olam Hazeh for a tachlis of Olam Hazeh, then there's no purpose in that. The purpose of this world is to extend Olam Haba into this world, to bring Ruchnius into this world, then this world could be a Me'ein Olam Haba. Somebody was a big fear that once asked Rav Aaron. He said, you know, Rav Aaron used to speak about supporting yeshivas, that Yisachar and Zavulun. Zavulun gets a chelk in Olam Haba, just like Yisachar who learns Torah. So this Gvir asked Rav Aaron, tongue in cheek. He said, I support Torah. So why do I also have to learn? I'm going to get my Olam Haba anyway. So what's the purpose of learning? So Rav Aaron told him, you're going to get your Olam Haba. But what kind of an Olam Hazeh is it if you don't have Limud HaTorah? If you don't instill that Ruchnius into this world? The tachlis is to be able to stretch Olam Haba and to extend it down here. That is really the tachlis and the bria. And this is what Yaakov Avinu wanted. And this is why the Malach HaMavis was not allowed to take his neshama away. Because Yaakov Avinu wasn't a vater on Olam Hazeh. Of course Yaakov Avinu wanted Olam Hazeh. But Olam Hazeh should become an extension of Olam Haba. Haskin Atzmacha B'Praizdar Kedei Shetikonis L'Trachlit. And this is the hashkof of every year. You know, if a person would only live his life for physical inyanim, for paying the bills and being Isaac and all the Gashmi's digging young. What an empty life it is. Ashreinu matayb chalkenu. That we're zeicher, that we have the means, we have the wherewithal and ruchnias, we have Torah, we have mitzvahs, we're able to learn, we're able to do chesed, we have a Shabbos, we have yomim tovim. Those are mamish nekudas of Olam Haba that are extended down to Olam Hazeh that makes our life a totally different life. Ashreinu matayb chalkenu. Vahi Esav ish yedei etzai ish sod. And Esav was a man that knew how to hunt. Ish sod, a man of the field. So the Vilna Gaon tells us, what's this double lashon? Ish yedei etzai ish sod. He was a man that knew how to hunt. Maybe we understand he was a man of the field. Or if he's a man of the field, perhaps he knew how to hunt. Why did the Torah have to use a double lashon here? Yedei etzai ish sod. So the Vilna Gaon says, Amaridikipshat. Mishnah in Kalayim mentions a creature known as Adnei Hasod, otherwise known as Yidoini. What is this? It's a plant human being. It's a human being that grows out of the ground. There is such a mitzias. There's a plant that looks like a human being, and he has hands and legs, except he has an umbilical cord that's attached to the ground. And he destroys anything that comes within his range. Anything that comes within his range, as far as the umbilical cord, as far as it reaches, he can destroy anything there. And people, if they're able to shoot an arrow at the umbilical cord from far away, and they hit the right spot, then his source of nourishment, it ceases, it stops, and that's the way he dies. Esav was a yochid that was able to get within the range of this Adme Hasodah, and he was able to take it out without having to shoot from far away. He was a yochid in that respect. So the Torah tells us, he knew how to hunt down Ishodah, the man that grew out of the ground. He was the only one that was able to hunt it. Most other people had to shoot from far away, but they couldn't get anywhere within range of this person. By he Esav Ishay Dead Sayyid, he knew how to hunt down Ishodah, the man that grew out of the field. Those are the Vilna Gaon. Vayehav Yitzchok is Esav. And Yitzchok loved Esav. Kitzayid Bifiv. Rashi Taich is either because he used to trap his father with his words, he used to ask him Shaila Zeich Ma'asher and Esamelach Beshateven, or because he used to bring his hunting, the things he used to hunt, he used to supply Yitzchak with. V'rivka Ehevah says Yaakov. There's a beautiful vart here, beautiful vart. From Rameiro Mipramishlam says a wonderful, beautiful vart. Another shot in Vayehav Yitzchok is Esav Kitzayid Bifiv. There's a Moedik Yeremes in the Pasuk over here. There's a Gemara in Masech, the Shabbos Da Pei Tesam Et Beis. It says that Lo'asidlovoi HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to turn to the Ovis HaKadoshim. He's going to tell them, Bonecha Chotu, your children, they did Aveiros. So Avraham Avinu will hear that. They'll say, Chotu, they should get their punishment. If they did Aveiros, they deserve a punishment. Avraham Avinu is going to say that. Yaakov Avinu will say the same thing. They did Aveiros, Yimachu al Kiddush Shemecha. Finished. Yitzchak Avinu, he's going to make a whole cheshbon with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How much is the whole life of a person? 70 years, 35 years he spent sleeping, out of the 35 years that he's awake, he has panos, he has this, he has tefillah, whatever. How much already does he do aveiros? You know what? Pal yolai, pal yalach, you take half the aveiros on your cheshbon, I'll take it on my cheshbon and be my chesbon. So the question is, out of all the Ovis HaKadoshim, Yitzchak Avinu should be the one that's melamed zchus. You would think that Avraham Avinu, that's midas hachesed. Midas hachesed usually is the one that's melamed zchus, melamed rachamim. Yaakov Avinu also. But Yitzchak Avinu, that's midas hadin, out of all the Ovis HaKadoshim, he should be the one that's melamed zchus and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maychel them. What's the pshat? So Eilmi Pramishlan says, because Yitzchak Avinu has a taina that the other Ovis HaKadoshim do not have. Yitzchak Avinu has a taina. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you know, I also had a son that was a Rosh. I also had a son that didn't do what he was supposed to do. But what did I do? I raised him in my house. I loved him. I showed him rachamim. So mida keneged mida, because Yitzchok Avinu did the same thing. He was mevater on Esav. He looked away from Esav's wrongdoings. He has the right to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same way I did it, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should also be able to do it. So that's the pshat. Vayehav Yitzchok es Esav, ki tzayid b'fiv. Now Yitzchok has a trap in his mouth to be able to trap HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. The ahava that he showed to Esav, he can now come with a taina against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shloimeh, the same way. I loved Esav, even though he didn't do what he was supposed to do. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be mevater on the averus of your children. So even though Yitzchok is the midas adin, he now comes bidin with the tiny attack, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midah connected midah, you should do what I did. And out of all the other Shagdashim, he's the only one that's able to do this. The Rosh in his Pirish on the Parasha, in the Sefer Moshe Zakenim, there's a Pirish, a Rosh, Al HaTayra, that says that Esav is Begematria 376, and that is the same Gematria as Shalom. Esav is Begematria Shalom. Esav is Begematria Peace. How could that be? Mechayra, Esav is a Ritzayak, Esav is a Sheikh Domin. How could it be that Esav is Begematria Shalom? 376. Zokta Rosh, that Esav has to have some sort of an Akuda of Peace. It was a Vekishtal like that. It was established that way. Because if Esav would not have some sort of a midah of Shalom within him, the world would have no key. It would be impossible. He's such a Shaykh Dabim. He's such a violent person. He's such an aggressive person that if he'd be totally void of Shalom, the world would not be able to exist. So therefore, he has somewhat the midah of Shalom in him, and that way it is the key for the world. I once saw brought down in one of the Svarim B'Shem the Maral, what's that Esav is B'Gematria Shalom, that this is one of his tactics. One of Esav's tactics is he gives the impression that he's a man of peace. On the outside, he seems like a peaceful person. But the real, that's the way he fools the people. Kitzayid B'Fiv, that is the way he fools the Briah. He makes himself look like a peaceful person, but the Pnimius of Esav is that he's really a Reitzayek. That's Kitzayid B'Fiv. He's Meramis Abrius. You know the famous Gemara that says that Esav is Nimshal to a Chazir. Esav is Nimshal to a Dabarach. The same way a Chazir, he's Mafres as Parson. He has split hooves and he sticks out his hooves and says, take a look, I'm kosher. Esav has the same thing. He has a midah of kashrus in him and he shows the world, take a look, I'm kosher. When really be'etzem, he is treif. Where do you find this? We find this in history. You know, Josephus, famous historian Josephus, very controversial. There's a controversy amongst the Frumma historians. If Josephus is reliable, and what exactly was he made of, and who did he represent? Was he really writing from a Roman perspective? So one of the rise that they bring against Josephus is that he writes about Titus Harosha, that Titus Harosha was a fine person, and he was a peace-loving person. And Chazal and Masechus Gittin tell us the exact opposite. Chazal and Masechus Gittin tell us that Titus HaRosha, he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, opened up the Sefer Torah, he was Mezana on the Sefer Torah, he was once on a ship, and he was once in the Chayrat and Megadim, connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of a sudden there was a storm, and Titus said, oh, it looks like the God of the Jews can only fight on the sea, he has no power on dry land. Says the Mabul, Kriyas Yamsuf, but he has no power on dry land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Titus, I have the tiniest debris as a little gnat. Let's see, go back to dry land and see if you can do battle with it. And this gnat entered his nose and it pecked away at his brain. That's eventually how he died. So Chazal say the Pharisee, he was Mecharef and Megadav Kenegar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, clearly Yosefin is off the mark. He writes that he was a man of peace. He was a decent person. So Tzadok HaKohen may Lublin, he's Melamed Zchus. Again, there's plenty of other riots against Yosefin. But from this fact that Yosefin writes that Titus was a peace-loving person, he was a decent person, Tzadok HaKohen writes, he's Melamed Zchus from this. How? He says, Titus, it could be that externally he gave the impression that he was a peace-loving person. could be he spoke peace, it could be on the outside, he made overtures to Jews. On the inside, you know, in secret, he was rotten. These meisim that Chazal told us that Titus was Oiron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, no human being could have seen that, because no Jew was allowed into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there's no way in the world that Yosefim could have known what happened in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Chazal, the Ruach Kodesh, they saw that that Maisa happened, and they touched him, he was a Russian. Or when he had his own personal discussion with Hashem on his ship, nobody had to have overheard him. Chazal, the Ruach Kodesh, they were able to see that that happened. But Yosefim definitely did not see that. To the human eye, it may very well be that Titus on the outside portrayed himself. He gave the picture of being a peace-loving person. Titus is the epitome of Esav. That's Edom. That is what Edom is. On the outside, they give the impression of being peace-loving people, but on the inside, they're right. What about the Catholic Church? The Catholic Church that presents itself as being mamish, a peace-loving religion, a religion of tranquility, a religion of chesed, and didn't know all too well over the generations how much we suffered at the hands of the Catholic Church and how many mulchamas were made because of the Catholic Church, the Crusades, and how many wars took place afterwards. Oh, but this was under the guise of it being peace-loving. That is what the Matthias of Esav is. Esav is become actually a showing. On the outside, it gives the impression that it's for peace and for chesed and for the good of mankind. Oh, but this is only a front. The Pnimius is really the inyan of Shoifech Damim and Ritzich. Here's a wonderful machshava I saw. Vayomer, Yitzchok said, Atozeh b'ni Esav? Is that you, my son Esav? Vayomer ani, Yaakov said, it's me. Vayomer hakishali, bring forth the food. Va'oichlo mitzei b'ni, I'll eat from what you hunted down, my son. L'man t'berechcha nafshi, so that my nefesh could bless you. Vayagishloi, and Yaakov Avinu brought it forth. Vayoichal, and he ate. Vayove lo yayin, and he brought him wine, Vayesh, and he drank. So the question is, where did Yaakov get wine from? Rivka didn't tell him to bring wine. You see, Rivka told him to bring steak, though you eat it. But where did Yaakov get wine from? He wasn't commanded it from Rivka. So the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel over here says a Moedika thing. A Malach came, and he brought wine that was guarded in its grapes from Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. That's Yain HaNeshuvah. The original wine in Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, a Malach came and gave it to Yaakov Avinu to give to his father, to Yitzchak. So Yaakov Avinu gave that to Yitzchak. So he stayed in Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel. Rabbi Tzalo HaKoyim Yivilna, great Rabbonim Yivilna, when he was a young boy, he was learning with his younger brother, who was almost 7 years old, Rabbi Shlomo HaKoyim Yivilna, who also became the Rabbi Yivilna in later years. So they were learning this pasuk, and they learned the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel. So Rabbi Shlomo HaKoyim asked his older brother, where did the Targum Yonasan know that a Malach came and brought the wine? Like, where's the rumors in the pasuk? So the older brother didn't know. But then the young boy, the 7-year-old boy, said, if you look in the pasuk, it says, Vayovei loy. And he brought to him Yayin. The word loy, the truck, the Tami Hanagina on loy, is mercha kfula, a double mercha, which tells you to darsh Vayovei loy twice. He brought to him. The Malach brought to him, and he brought to his father. That's Vayovei loy, mercha kfula, a double Vayovei loy. So Rabbi Yashiv over here asks a question. Why is it that Yaakov Avinu brought wine to his father? Okay, so the Malach gave him wine. But Esav should have brought wine also. You don't find that Esav brought wine to Yitzchak B'Shas Ma'aseh. He only brought him what he hunted down. Why did he not bring him wine? And you can't tell me that Esav never brought his father wine. The Medrash says with favorish, Kitzayi Befir, state Medrash, that Esav would always bring good food and good wine to his father. So all the time he brought wine, and boom, now by the bracha he didn't bring wine. But this episode over here, he didn't bring wine to his father.
Talking about Yashiv, about Yudhi Kipshat.
Yashiv says.
And also you find that the bracha that Yitzchak gave Yaakov, it says, he should give you wine. In his bracha to Esav, he doesn't say a word about wine. There must be some chilek over here. Yaakov Avinu brings wine, and he gets a bracha, he'll have wine. Esav doesn't bring wine for some reason, and he's not given a bracha on wine. What is it over here about wine that Yaakov does have the wine, and Esav does not have the wine? Zokrib Yashiv. Wine has two faces. You find the wine, you're menasek the wine al gabi mizbeach, it's a moedik mitzvah. Chazal tell us, nichnas yain yotzesoyid, when you drink wine, the pnimius of a person comes out, the ruchnius of a person comes out. Chazal tell us that wine is something, gemar mesechnas yuma, chamra v'richna pikhi. Wine and besanim, they make a person wiser. Another that abstains from wine is Iran and Aveira. Shatir Atzmim and Ayayin. Yayin is a good thing for the body to have, and another that abstains from it, he's Iran and Aveira. He's a Chayte. This wine of Kiddush and Abdullah and the Kais Brichas and Muslim and a Kais by marriage by the Nisuan. And Chazal said, Eno Yim Shira Al Ayayin. Wine is a tremendous, tremendous thing. The Yidduch Gisa, wine has a different one. Mara tells us, why is wine called tirosh? Zocho nasirosh. If you're zoiche and you drink wine, you use it for the right purposes, you could become a great person. Like we said, because wine involves kedusha. It brings out the pnimius in a person. Loi zocho nasirosh. He becomes a poor person. It becomes an addictive thing. Alcohol. And shikat zachan. It becomes an addictive thing. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, Al tihi b'sei v'yayim, don't be amongst those that guzzle down wine. Chazal tell us, by Noyach it says, v'yokam le'ech isha adama, v'yita korem, v'yesh. If you look at the pasuk over there, it says, vav yud, vay, 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 vay. Wine leads to a bunch of oyveis. If it's not used properly. That's the chiluk between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov understood the godless of wine. He understood that wine is something that brings out the pnimius of a person. Wine is a dorish of kedusha. That is the side of wine that he saw. The Nailah, when he wanted a bracha from Yitzchak Avinu, he brought him wine. He wanted Yitzchak to give the bracha. He told the pnimius of the pnimius. And he took a ruach of kedusha. The Nailah, he brought him wine. Esav, on the other hand, looked at wine from his hand. Esav took good on his shikr. Esav used to lig in his wine, and it didn't do much spiritually for him. So now he wanted a bracha from Yitzchak. He was afraid. So Stasi used to bring Yitzchak wine. But now b'shas the bracha, he wanted it to be a good bracha. He wanted Yitzchak to be with his full facilities when he gives him the bracha. And the way Esav looked at wine, it was something that drugged you up. And it wasn't the Ruchni's Dikka Kayak. Memela, he didn't bring the wine. And this is why in the brachas, Yitzchak gave Yaakov Avinu a bracha b'sirosh, because he understood that Yaakov, or at least Baruch HaKadosh, he didn't know it was Yaakov, but Baruch HaKadosh, he was able to sense that the person in front of him knew what to do with the tirosh. Mashen came by Esav. By then already he recognized it was Esav, and Esav did not deserve the bracha. By then already he said Esav's not going to get a bracha of tirosh, because Esav doesn't know what to do with the tirosh. He's going to abuse the tirosh. Memela, that's what he stayed away from. Have a good Shabbos. Yeah.